This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
And do not reflect those of the Evening Rush. Views expressed here are not supported by and do not reflect those of the Evening Rush Network. Viewer's discretion is advised.
I am Chris.
Hi, I'm Nina. Good evening.
Good evening. And today we have a guest with us. This is Joy.
Hi.
Joy. Come on. Say hi. You energy.
Joy, you need to sound like Joy.
Yes, some Joy. Joy.
Yes. Joy actually looks very pleasant and she sounds very pleasant. And she is actually a very nice person and has a lot to share with us today.
Yes. It's a treat having her today. Speaking of treats, how was your week? What did you buy any buildings?
Treats. Treats. I actually thought you said trees. Earlier today, I took a really nice video that I'm going to share with you guys tomorrow. I didn't get a chance to put it out there. I'm not the only one sharing the social media side of it. So each and every one of the company like takes a share and sometimes puts out stuff that they experienced or wanted to share. So yeah, I'm going to share a cute video tomorrow. Overall, it was a very hectic week. Thankful for what we've done and what we have, but I did not get a second to think, but everything just went from one to the next. I had some dramas in some of the buildings that people broke into, but we handled the story of our lives, but we're good. How about you, Joy? Wow. How was your week? Tell us.
No one broke into anything.
Oh, thankfully.
But I did a couple of workshops. So I do health and wellness. I do some workshops and events. Okay. And these are for kids. So today I did a meditation workshop with kids.
Seriously? Meditation?
Yeah, 6 to 12.
I wish I could do that.
Yeah. So, and you know, 6 to 12-year-olds. Meditating is not their thing, so it's challenging, but it was fun. And they, and then we did a variety of different kinds of meditation.
Okay.
Some breath work, some guided meditation, and then some dance meditation using some streamers. So that was good. They like the streamer part.
Every time I meditate, I fall asleep.
You probably need some more rest, but that's okay.
Yes. I had a partner back in the day that used to meditate. Starting 5 a.m., he was like in the 5 a.m. club.
Oh,
you know the 5 a.m. club?
Mm-hmm.
So he used to meditate. And he told him, you know, dude, you got all these skyscrapers on you. And you're running so much. How do you do it? And you're so calm. And I used to make fun of him. I said, you'll live until 200. You are so calm. You take your time with everything. And he said, you know what, Nina? I just have one thing that I would like to share with you right now. And this is exactly where this is coming from, what you're telling me. And I said, what? And then he said, meditation. And I started laughing so hard because he's like, it's religion. And he is very religious and looking religious that you would never think that he would actually sit there with his suit and everything that he's wearing. Again, I don't know what he is wearing when he does that, but it's funny just to think about it, but then when you really go through it and see and experience it, dude, we got to get this. We got to get on it. I tried. Listen, I haven't tried it. I tried to wake up early. That didn't go so well. But we really need to get it done.
Yeah, and there's so many different ways of meditating. And I think one of the things that people do that makes it hard for them is they try to clear their mind. So instead of clear thinking of the goal, clearing your mind, is whatever comes to your mind, you just acknowledge it and move forward. But you can meditate through a walk. You can meditate, like we did meditation with streamers. Yeah. It's like whatever else you can focus on. You can meditate on the breathing meditation. You can focus on the breath, or you can focus on the numbers. You can count and focus on that. So it's just trying to control your emotions and control your focus.
Can I ask you though, what's a streamer? What do you mean?
Oh, a streamer, like a ribbon, a long ribbon.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
So we
with the
them,
kids.
Yeah, we gave them. I've done that with adults too. The adults find it, love it too. So a long ribbon with a stick to it. Yeah.
I wasn't sure. So that is so cool.
Yeah.
I would want to be a part of it one day. And not in the middle of the day. I don't know about early morning, but definitely at some point of the day. No joke, for real, I would really like to experience it. I have so much on my mind, running so much, and it's healthy for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You do. Yeah, you need it in your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my week was great. I took my kids. We hung out in the pool. We did the pool jacuzzi, hang out over the week, and we barbecued some steak.
Okay.
And then I was at an open house with you, which went wonderful on Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
And then I was on the Evening Rush podcast, the Mother podcast, last night. And that was an awesome experience, talking about friendships with women when you're married, or women friendships with men when they're married. So, you know, that was an interesting podcast. And then I'm in the stages of bringing a sports podcast.
Oh, cool.
So that's going to happen this fall. So
that's so cool.
What's the focus of your sports podcast?
I'm dealing with the coach for Queens College, and also a former basketball player for Rice High School, and I forget what college he went to, but actually a guy that could have went pro. So it's going to be mainly, you know, some basketball, but we're going to talk everything.
Wow.
Team orientated. And then guess what? I spent all week trying to sell a building. Anyway, that was my week.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I know. Every week.
Because I know exactly what you're talking about. But yeah.
I know. Anyway, so we're back for another podcast. Enjoy. You own a building in New York?
I do. I own a building in Harlem.
Nice.
Nice.
A three-family building.
Wow. Okay.
So what made you buy that building? How did that process come to be?
Well, first, I thought, I think I was in business school, and I decided I wanted to own a building in Harlem, and I really wanted to own a building on Stryver's Row, which is two streets. Then I said, that can't possibly happen. It's two streets. Like, literally, it's 138th and 139th between Adam Clayton Powell and Frederick Douglass. And then I started gathering as much information about owning, because I'd never owned anything. And
okay.
I grew up in Long Island, so.
So you know, now when you grew up, wait, did you grow up in a house?
In a house, in a detached house.
Did your parents own the house? Okay.
Yeah, so detached house, big backyard, you know, walk to school, all that stuff. Okay. You know, Harlem townhouse, that kind of brownstone, limestone, really. Was nothing I'd really experienced. I just had seen it before. I'm like, this is a historic landmark street. I really wanted to do that. So, you know, I did my little visualizations connected to meditation. Right?
Oh, okay.
And then I got on these lists, like these email lists, listservs back in the day. Mm. And
what year was this?
Well, so
2006?
I was in, well, 2007 is when I bought it. So yeah. I was, HPD had some houses, and I ended up getting it through them.
Oh, okay.
So 2007 is when I bought it. But, you know, I did a lot of stuff before that process, trying to think about, you know, what I wanted. And I didn't think I could get it, but I ended up getting a house in Stryver's Row. So.
Now, was it just mainly you in this process, or did you work with other people, friends, family?
It was just mainly me. So, yeah, mainly me. So, at the time that I got it, I was leaving one job. And when it came available, I didn't technically have a job.
Okay.
And then I got a job so I could qualify. You know, you need to have some income in order to buy a house.
Or be very creative. That's another episode, but yes.
Yeah. So,
And at that point, that's all I knew. So I had the job. I qualified for some loans. I figured all that stuff out. And then I was in contract for a long time. And then I finally got it. So, yeah.
Okay. What was the holdup being in contract? Was it just clearing title or?
No. So the house was for sale before it was finished. So it was 2007, if you remember, before the real estate crash of 2008. Yes. So all these contractors were really busy. They were really busy. They weren't finishing anything in a timely fashion. So I was in contract for a really long time. So years. So they finished it in 2007, and then, you know, that the qualification that the loan had qualified for, I still, you know, we didn't hold anything because that was a couple years before. Yeah. So I just got into contract and just closed the interest rate, locked in the interest rate like a week before it started going up.
Okay.
Wow.
And then in 2008, I refinanced like a week before the bottom dropped out. So it worked out, you know. It worked out for me.
Yes,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that they finished it. Did you purchase a 7A building? Because HPD finished it? Who finished it?
So HPD sold it to the developer. The developer, I bought it from the developer. HPD just did the project. I don't think it was a 7A, but it was in one of the HPD programs.
Yeah. So HPD themselves fixed the building and then purchased it from them.
I purchased it from the developer. So HPD sold it to the developer. And through this process, like people that I know who bought houses after, the process was a little bit different. But HPD sold to the developer. I bought it from the developer, but they had to follow HPD's rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like 7A when, you know, a seller neglects the property and then the city takes over. They hire a third party and then they sell it to the end user.
Okay.
Yeah. So they say they sold it. Yeah, they sold it.
Very inspiring to go into something like this, nonetheless, coming out from Long Island.
I had moved. I had moved into the city to go to business school, and I was like, okay, I want to own something here. So yeah.
How far are you from one fish, two fish?
Wow, that's amazing. Away, right?
Not too far.
Yeah.
Very similar lives we had growing up in Long Island. Moving to the city, you know, going into these projects.
These home projects, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then the crash, purchasing in 2007 in Harlem. Same thing, 2007 in Harlem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
so cool. Okay, we didn't even know that.
So when the President Clinton moved to, he moved after that, right? After then? When did he move to Harlem?
I forgot, because
when he moved to Harlem.
Well, they said a lot changed. I didn't feel a lot changed until more recently I could sort of see the change. And actually, over the last few years of COVID, a lot has really changed. So, I'm trying to think. When he first moved, it was more talk of change and visibly changing things. And now there are a lot more really luxury buildings there. New commercial things that are there, including, some things on 116th Street or even in the Bronx, since I live close to 145th Street. So I walk over 145th Street Bridge and go to Bronx Terminal Market, but 116th Street, know, the Targets and all that stuff. So as if we didn't need that stuff. So even because there's another one on 116th. So yeah, so there's a lot more retail, and then retail on 125th, even like Chipotle on 125th, that's relatively recent. Whole Foods. And we recently got a Lidl. I don't know if you, L-I-D-L.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But there's one on Long Island. And since I'm on Long Island a lot, I've go to that one. So that used to be Best Yet.
So you still go back to Long Island?
Well, yeah. So I'm at my mother's house a lot. And a lot of the work I do is on Long Island. So I'm out there a lot. Yeah.
What do you do again? Like so the work?
I do workshops and events.
Workshops.
Yeah, so some of the things I'll do are virtual. Like I will do a self-care Saturday. That's during COVID, a lot of them were 100% virtual. Mm-hmm. And then I do programs for different corporate clients. So I'll do the variety, like the meditation workshop. We'll do other fitness workshops, nutrition, a variety of wellness things for other people. So a lot of my clients are on Long Island.
Let's do it one day with the office.
Yeah, you can do it, yeah.
I'm serious with everyone. No,
yeah, we do.
We'll do a workshop.
Like an office retreat?
Yeah. We go all the time to all these clubs with all this alcohol. Let's replace it with something
better.
That's right. Yeah, Chris never drinks.
Yeah, I don't drink. I give up drinking.
Never, not even taste a drink or to try anything. He just goes healthy.
Listen, I tried to have a drink for my birthday, one of these.
You did?
And I took a sip and was like, just
you try.
I would pay to see that.
I don't drink for health reasons though, but I just try to take a taste just to. So I took a sip of my wife's drink and I spit it out. I said, man, I don't have the when you give up something for so long.
Yeah.
Are people always trying to get you to drink though?
Yeah.
So I don't really drink either. And when I did drink, it was mostly like, you know, the pina colada, the
Fruity,
which are really more about punch and frozenness than the
that's
drinking.
What you should have tried. I don't know what you.
No, that's what it was. It was a martini.
Martinis are very strong.
Very alcohol.
Yeah.
You got a pina colada.
Far from pina colada.
No, but I stopped. Thank God through COVID, I got everything situated, so I probably could drink now, but I moved on. I don't really feel,
You know. That's good.
Yeah, but people always, because I don't drink, people always trying to get me to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, come on, you'll be okay. I'm like, what?
And then play like they don't know. Yeah, try this.
I'm enough fun without a drink. Don't worry about it.
Good. And
I enjoy watching others, though. So, yes, go ahead.
Enjoy watching the others.
That's right.
Okay. Not like we act any different when we drink. But
that's what they all say.
When we go out,
that's what they think.
Yep. We have our office meetings and we always talk business. At least me. I mean, them too, from last I remember. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's fun to work together.
Yes.
It's fun to share. It's fun to plan. And what's better than to do it in a nice environment?
Okay, I agree.
So everyone, nice environment considered differently, but it's nice once in a while. What do? We don't do it every week.
No.
We do every week meetings, but not all the time we have alcohol involved. Mm-hmm. But
so you should do a wellness activity in that. Because that's what, I mean, I got into it to make it fun. Because a lot of times people, like everybody knows they should eat well, exercise, and everybody knows that. But people don't want it to feel like it's drudgery or painful or whatever. So you do fun things like, well, I'll do a 5K and then we have music. And it's good for people because it's my things are really connected to faith. It's faith, fitness, and fun.
Okay.
So it'll be gospel music. And then we'll have people do, like sometimes I'll do praise dance. Someone will do warming up and all those different things. So just trying to make it fun. It doesn't have to be like the pain, you know. Some of us like working out and some people don't. So it's like, how can you make them do things, have them have fun experiences?
Yeah. And that's what we try to do with Christening the podcast, to make it fun, educational, so you can buy or sell a home easy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be a good experience.
Yes, exactly. As pleasurable as we can make it.
Yeah. But did you ever experience meditation?
I told you, I fall asleep.
No, for real.
For real. No, about 2 years ago, I joined a leadership program.
Okay.
So I did 90 days of meditation as part of my leadership program. So I didn't fall asleep.
How long was those? What those?
Like 15, 20 minutes in the morning. I just made it a point to meditate. And then also did journaling. I did quite a few things to change my mindset and create a positive energy to begin my day.
Got it.
So, and in real estate, you need to, no matter what happens, to create that center so you can be positive going through whatever changes when you're working on different deals or dealing with different people.
For sure.
Because you meet some characters.
I'm sure.
Just can't get around it.
By the way, sometimes they write us comments and questions. So, Chris, do you want to turn that on the
side?
It's right there, over there.
Yeah.
So, just in case. So what are the age groups that you work with in your day-to-day? Or does that depend on what, like, I guess, reservations that they put? Or
well, so I have some clients that schedule some things. So over the summer, we do a lot of youth programs.
Mm.
And because these same clients, they have senior population.
Yeah.
But during the summer, they'll have youth in those spaces. So they won't do as much senior work. So we do all sorts of ages. Mm-hmm. So it's me mostly, but then I have other people that do other programs. Like one thing that people really love is Drums Alive, which is one of those big physio balls on like one of those 5-gallon buckets with drums.
Wow.
Drumsticks. So every age loves those.
What's and the lowest, the youngest age?
So the youngest I think we have is like 6.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So yeah, so every age loves them, and it's different levels of coordination at that young age. So right now we only have one person that's an instructor in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll train some more people, and then we do some praise dance, fitness, variety of dance.
Is that considered as a therapy to some patients? Like, do some patients hire you in as in like a prescription that they follow?
So we haven't
insurance?
Done that, no, because we're like group fitness instructors, so we're not really like physical therapists.
Okay.
So, which requires, you know, more specific training. So it could be therapeutic for some people. And then even some of the things we'll do, like nutrition, like we did a self-care Saturday a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
a couple of weeks ago, I don't know, at the end of July. And then there were a lot of things in it. There was yoga, dance, and then I made mocktails.
That's amazing.
Because, you know, when you don't drink, sometimes you don't want to have just soda. So I made mocktail. Yeah. So
wow.
So that was fun. People like that.
That's
cool.
Very much like as in, because I have twins, right? So sometimes they were speaking in the doctor and they were mentioning behavioral therapy.
Mm.
That's a behavioral therapy,
yes.
in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So people could also use you to, you know, your service as the behavioral therapy, behavioral management, something
yes.
that has
mm-hmm.
to do with, you know, the baby's not cooperating, or like, of course, you're saying 6 years old, but then that's something that you could also look into and maybe do another program where you get together with, you know, pediatricians and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, do that a lot, because that's very much behavioral.
Yeah. And we have done work with other people, other pediatricians. So,
I'll invest in you.
One of my friends used to work for a program. They did stuff for mothers and, yeah, so some of that stuff.
That's amazing. Wow.
So how long have you been doing this?
So this company now is called Soul Joy Wellness.
Yes.
But I've been doing it for a long time. So this company, though, started in 2019.
So it's your company.
Yeah, it's my company. Oh. So I've been doing some of the same things, but this is just this iteration of the company, right? This version of the company.
That's like your bread and butter, you would say?
So that, uh-huh, and my rental, so.
And then the Airbnb, yeah. I was going to say, yeah. doing all this simultaneously, and I was mentioning last week that maybe we should talk about day-to-day work and real estate.
Yes.
So that's a perfect example also where you could do your thing, you could do your side business, main business, bread and butter, day-to-day income
yes.
type of 9-to-5, and then still be able to run your show and then have your income.
Yes.
Obviously, that also needs management mm-hmm. and organization and balance and ensure that everything is on point so it continues to succeed and do well. And then, you know, what's better than that to be able to run two things in one time? It's doable. I love it.
Yes. Yeah. And depending on how long, like if you're doing really short term, then you need more infrastructure
yes.
to mm-hmm. do the faster turnovers.
Yeah.
But right now I'm doing monthly or more. I have mm-hmm. someone coming the 16th and staying till November. So
awesome.
There's a lot less work for me
staying?
To do. Yeah, they're staying till November.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean?
So they booked from August 16th to November 16th.
Where are they staying?
In one of my units.
Shut up.
Yeah.
And is it, do you have like the digital, like where you can
money.
Program the so they get a code to go in and is there cameras?
No. So you know, I looked in that early on when those systems first came out, I
yeah.
feel like. And at the time, because I needed to have a system that would, it just didn't work with the lock system
because yes.
the post office, the postal service gets inside my locks.
Yes.
So I needed, so at the time, and then I just didn't look at it. So I have a lock box since it's my house. I have a lock box on my railing
yes.
so they can get the keys from the railing. So,
okay.
But I'll probably look into that again because even for me, if I'm on Long Island and I leave my keys on Long Island, then I have to say who's home so they can let me in.
See, that's
so,
one of the first things I did because we had kids and I didn't want to be carrying car seats and trying to get the
mm-hmm.
keys and try to, so I did the digital locks, but now they advanced it to the point where you could unlock the door from your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so if you have an elderly family member or someone that is in special needs, that you could assist them from your phone. You know, the advancements in locks and digital access for your home is incredible.
And that's probably good for, because sometimes people and using keys.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a key isn't that difficult of a technology, but sometimes people have trouble. Like, I can't get in. Like, that means you turn the key the wrong way because the door opens easily.
Yeah.
Like, turn the key the other way. So, yeah, because people will call, you know, I haven't had it in a while, but I've had people call me because they couldn't get in because they didn't know what.
Or they had a good night out. And next thing you know, you got to change a whole lock.
Oh, yeah, I think it was January or February. I had some people. They were funny because they were from Ireland.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they would hang out every night. And the guy said, and one night they couldn't get in. They were banging on the door. So the other people in the place don't know them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said something to him. He's like, yes, we're from Ireland. This is our heritage. I was like, okay.
And then I don't know about you. I've had some special tenants that were reporting things that you like scratch your head. Like, did that really happen? So now you put up cameras and everything in the house and you can see. And the moment we did that, oh, this woman flipped out. Now we're spying on her. I said, no, we want to make sure you're safe. You were reporting somebody's coming in. You're like, okay, now we can see. And the Ring, it has the motion mm-hmm. sensors, so you can tell what's going on in your house to keep your tenants safe and protect your investment.
Yeah. Yeah, because some people are a little
special.
Extra. There's also this company, I forgot the name of the company, but I was mentioning it for someone else I know because they do a noise thing. So if there's if the noise level gets too high, it alerts you and then you can stop parties. Because those are things that some people are concerned about.
Yeah.
Because someone was complaining that there was noise in the building. She's like, there wasn't noise in the building. I'm like, well, if you get this, you can navigate it. You can tell.
Yeah, technology has made some huge advancements so that you can be anywhere and manage your property easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and watch and see. And you could tell when your tenants are not doing what they say they were supposed to do.
Or if they let extra people in. All that stuff.
But I haven't heard that you can put a camera in it. You said to place cameras inside. I know that's specific case, but.
Oh, okay. So when I mean a camera, we put it in the hallway.
Oh, that's okay.
Not
that's something else.
Yes, because she was saying someone was coming into the building that didn't belong. Not in the park. Guys, no, I'm not. Yes, no. We don't do that.
Yeah.
But but there was a building that I had to do an appraisal for down by Pratt. And it had two floors and I want to say four, and they rented it out as bedrooms. And every bedroom had a bathroom. And he had a camera in every living room, kitchen, but they were young. So you got to monitor what these kids are doing in the place. And they all had bathrooms. I've never seen, it was like eight bathrooms, bedroom, bathrooms. So they were renting rooms, but it was across the street from Pratt. So it was like a dorm.
Yeah.
And then it had like a pool room downstairs in the basement with a huge flat screen. And I said, yeah, and they were spending. He told me he was getting about $2,500 to $3,000 a room.
Wow.
And then so you're talking eight rooms, maybe even nine.
Let's open up a dorm.
Yeah. He was Airbnb and Pratt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I had talked to a friend in Harlem who said she has, I think it's three family, and she rents out to students.
Yeah.
Did they change her C of O?
No, I think she has. I think it is just a three family. So I think it was always a three family. But I just think she just split up the room. So she just rents out to students.
And that's the thing. It was either a two family or three family. It was not a single room occupancy, even though they rented rooms.
Yeah, because you don't want an SRO.
No, you don't want
that.
Yeah.
No, not at all. That would diminish your returns on that property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But then you can't really control or always know, you know, whether they'll change it. You can get caught in overnight and things can change. You know, what would be, I guess we'll talk about it. We have a break in a minute, but that's something that I want to talk about. Like, how would you prevent the city, to turn you over into an SRO, single room occupancy, and still be able to run your show without worrying? But then obviously I know that everything has to be on point and run well and safety and, you know, non-hazardous and blah, blah, blah. But then
once
there are ways
that
you can control.
Your business, it becomes a nightmare.
Yeah, you want to keep them out of
You want to keep them out of your real estate.
You have a lot. You have more than one location or one?
No, I just have one location.
But you have a great location.
Yeah, I do have a great location. And I used to run more actively. I technically, I guess I'm still in charge, but I used to run the Upper Manhattan club for people who did Airbnb. So I talked to a lot of different people.
Oh, so you come from the experience.
Yeah. All right,
With that being said, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back and we're going to jump straight into owning an Airbnb. And we'll see when we get back.
Looking to podcast shows and do not know where to start? The Evening Rush Network can help you with that. Call us at 929-441-2417 or email us at theeveningrushnetwork@gmail.com for dates and prices. We got you for all your podcast needs. The Evening Rush Network. Tune in, subscribe, and share.
Hey, welcome back, Chris and Nina Podcast. It was a real short break.
Yes, it was.
I'm Chris.
Nina.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. All right. Enjoy.
Pump it up. All right. So we were, just in case if you missed the first half, we're in the middle of talking about owning an Airbnb. Joy owns an Airbnb building in Harlem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we were talking about the city get into your business, and we don't want them in our business. When you own real estate and they, for whatever reason, get involved in your building, it's not a pleasant experience. Right, Joy?
Right, exactly. You don't want that to happen at all. So, and one of the things that I do to try to make that not happen and with other people is to advocate for fair housing rules.
Yes.
So there's legislation that, and I forgot the number of legislation, at the state level that, well, I'll go to Albany and advocate for it. And hopefully now that we have a relatively new mayor, that we can have some more fair rules in the city. They really don't want us to do, they being the hotel lobby.
Yes.
And then they
the what? Sorry?
The hotel lobby.
Tell us about
hotel lobbyists.
Yeah. The hotel lobby. So the hotel lobby wants hotels to be the only people offering, you know, short-term rentals. Yes. So even though I use Airbnb now, I only do 30 days or more.
Okay.
So if you do 28 days or less, or 29 days or less, then that's short-term. So that's a problem if you aren't staying in your unit and with the people.
All right, so let's start from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
All right, so you bought your property in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a three family, so you rented two apartments.
Right.
Right. So how many tenants did you have in the beginning? Like how did...
So I had a couple of one person I knew on the top floor. Okay. And then I rented to someone else on the second floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was turnover on the second floor. And then the person on the third floor lost her mind, decided she didn't want to pay me. And I knew her. Right. And then... one of the people, I rented out a room to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his mind. He decided he didn't want to pay.
One by
and
one.
Then, so I had to evict the person on the top floor. The person on the middle floor lost her job. She thought she could quit and collect unemployment. I'm like, it didn't work like that.
Yeah, they have to fire you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then she left, and she owed me money. And then, so this didn't happen all at the same time, even though it sort of overlapped. And then the last person was someone who was living in my unit because I was back and forth from, I used to work at ESPN. So I was back and forth from Connecticut.
Oh, ESPN.
Back and forth. Yeah. So I had to evict him too. So the people who I had to evict all together owe me about $30,000.
Wow.
So that's how I decided. So then when I left my full-time job to be in New York City, full-time, and I was working on starting a business.
Yeah.
And then I decided that I should look into Airbnb, because the new tenants on the top floor, they had re-signed a lease. So they were there for a couple of years and they re-signed a lease. Mm-hmm. And then the guy got another job. So he had signed the lease in February. And then by August, he wanted to cancel the lease. So my friend's like, well, you can do Airbnb. So that's how I started.
Okay.
So I had listed on Airbnb and VRBO and Vrbo, as they call it now. And then, but most of my people come from Airbnb.
So, mm-hmm. let's say I have a, actually I do, I have a two family and I have an apartment. What would be the steps for me to register that apartment for Airbnb? I would have to go on the website?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just go on the website, make a description about the apartment, take pictures of it, and just upload it. So as a host, yeah, it's easy. And then Airbnb takes 3%,
okay,
which is, to me, it's like the transaction fee, because if you're doing a credit card, yeah, it's 2.9
right,
for most things. And then, you know, you're following their guidelines. I probably haven't read the most updated terms of service, so you read all of that.
Yeah, it changes.
And then, so it's easy. It's the barrier to entry is just how much time does it take you to take pictures of your place.
But overall, right, it's 30 and up.
Well, so it depends on what you have. So there are tons of people who still rent out their unit for less than 30 days.
Okay.
And
is that even an option if it's not allowed? They still give the option to do that?
I haven't tried to book it that way, but if you book it for less than 30 days, they give certain information to the city, right? So the city should be able to find. But if you live in the unit, like you physically live in the unit, because some people want to rent out
a bed.
Yeah, yeah. Or they give people access to the entire apartment, right?
But I heard yesterday a couch.
Well, because that's how it started, right? Because the founders of they were basically couch surfing. So so they were basically doing that. So there are people who rent out don't rent out the whole unit.
Wait, did you see the video I posted on Instagram of there's people who rent out on Brooklyn, like a like where the boats they rent out like these little like they not even studio, they're not apartments, they're like metal containers
to sleep,
to live in, yeah, right on the water, like on, like near the Brooklyn Bridge, near the docks.
Are they attractive?
Like loading docks, like they're renting that out now. Yeah, you gotta check on Instagram. Check my Instagram, guys, on our Instagram, on Chris Anita Podcast Instagram.
But he hot water bathroom.
And they're renting it like Airbnb. They're not doing it, they're not leasing it. It's just for like a week or 2 weeks. And it's right on the water,
has a
shower, has heat, has everything. And really? Then you can go to the farmer's market, which is right outside.
That's interesting. I'll have to check that out. Yes. That's very interesting.
Yes, it's very interesting. It's a brand new world.
Mm-hmm. People will rent anything.
People will rent anything.
So I also saw something that people were renting, I guess not in the city, but they're renting out pools.
I heard, yeah.
So people rent out anything.
In our neighborhood, I heard.
Yeah, I was
trying. Someone came to ask me if I, no.
Yeah, I keep trying to bring my kids. You don't answer my calls. Yeah.
Funny, that's funny.
So, but the technical rules are, if you live in the apartment, then you can have people live in the apartment with you.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
so,
okay.
For less than 30 days. So that's the technical rule.
That's
so we're trying to get rules that make it fair and equitable.
Yes.
So the complaints that people have sometimes are kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Like people say, there are strangers in my building. Well, I live in a three-family building. My sisters are there. Sometimes we don't see the people. So it doesn't, you know, like you don't know everybody. Mm-hmm. And if you live in a larger building, I don't know that you travel at the same time of other people that you would see them all the time. You wouldn't know them. So one woman, I went to one thing and she was like, I look out the window, out the peephole, and I see different people. I'm like, who does that? You, and who says you're going to know everybody that lives in your building? Because you're just not going to see them. I just think that people have an unrealistic expectation. Yeah. But worse than short-term people are long-term people who don't pay and who are obnoxious.
And who do not take care of the property.
Yeah, those are worse. Bad neighbors. I remember before the people on two left, mm-hmm. the woman had her grandsons, and then they were on the roof, which you should not be on the roof. So my next-door neighbor was complaining that they were on the roof. I said, they're moving out tomorrow. So, they're moving out. So he just really wanted to complain about it. I'm like, yeah, they're moving out tomorrow, so we'll be done with them. Okay. Because I can't. It's harder to stop people who have longer term leases because, if as you know, New York is tenant friendly.
Yes, very tenant friendly. Yeah. Yes.
So the thing with short term rental is you don't have that issue. So, and then when you, it, as much, I'm sure there are people who probably abuse that, but as much. And then when I rent on longer term, especially if we're renting for people who we know that they're going some, they're going back home or whatever, right, then it's easier to screen people. And it's easier when Airbnb is collecting the funds and that's the process. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's some insurance through that. So,
now, have you ever had any famous people, any musicians, artists, stars, any celebrities stay in your Airbnb?
No. Would you even know? Would you be able to tell? I don't think you'd even be.
Well, you know, there could have been some stars and famous people that I haven't seen because there are some people that I haven't seen. Like,
because
the
they wouldn't
people,
book for them. It would be a company. So you would have to, like, you would have to just see them.
Yeah. And there's some people who I've never seen the entire time they were there. So the last people, so I'm back and forth, like I said, to Long Island sometimes. Yeah. But, you know, there was a guy a couple of renters ago who, and he stayed for a long time because he had come from, he was on tour in Africa. He was a dancer and a choreographer, a filmmaker.
Nice.
And my youngest sister is, she's an actress. So I'm like, oh, you need to connect with him. So it took her months to see him. I'm like, have you seen him yet? She's like, no. So she finally saw him. So they never saw each other in the building. So in the last people who left, they were there for a month. I never saw them.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to see my tenants.
Yeah.
I just want to see the checks.
Yeah, exactly. But now that they're going to move in with you, since you're going to rent it for less than 30 days, you'll be able to live with them.
Yeah. And then now because of COVID, everybody working from home, it's a whole.
But I still don't see the people.
Are you still there?
Yeah. I can hear them when they're overhead. Like, I know they're there. I don't see them. Sometimes I'll go to the door when they're coming down to say hello or something, but I don't see, you know.
And there's no pets or anything with
There's no pets, but if you have pets or you want a pet friendly place, you can have pets. That's one of the things on the last thing that I looked at, things people are looking for pet friendly. Mm-hmm. So I don't do pets because I don't particularly want to clean up after pets.
Gotcha.
But also if other people have allergies, then you have to really make sure that you've done that for
and
the
then you have
people.
To really clean it thoroughly too, yeah, for the next
yeah.
year.
So I'm not, I've had people that had like a service animal, mm-hmm, but no pets.
So now, okay, so you rent out Airbnb, they book it for let's say a week. Afterwards, do you hire a service to come clean and just reorganize the apartment?
So different phases, I've done different things. So mm-hmm. there was a time where Airbnb, it was easy on the Airbnb platform to book. I think it was Handy. So I booked Handy through there, and then okay. I booked other people off the platform to clean. But right now, so it's less frequent. My youngest sister cleans. I pay her to clean. If she can't clean,
my kids are good.
My other sister cleans, or I have a friend. I'm like, can you go clean? So I just pay them. So and if all else fails, I'll clean if I'm here. So it is mostly passive. Like mostly, I don't have to do anything.
Okay.
You know, she'll tell me like, you need new sheets, you need new this, you need whatever. Because in some of the apartments I'll go in, like, I haven't been into them in a really long time.
Okay.
So, yeah. Because I'll have, like, I have a long-term person coming on the third floor. Because people were talking recession. So I was like, well, maybe I'll get one long-term tenant in case what they're talking about is real.
Smart.
And that's the other thing. Like, you can do short-term or you can do longer-term. You can do whatever you want. So it's up to you. And, like, Airbnb makes suggestions on pricing, which I usually ignore. And then... Because you know how neighborhood is, it's block to block. So their pricing, I'm like, that's not for my block. So I just do some other pricing.
Higher.
So yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know you can change your rates.
Yeah, you're responsible for your rates.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I'll look at what they're suggesting, and then directionally I'll look at it. But I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And then because they're really for the short term.
Yeah.
So I put in a rate and then I discount it for a month.
Yeah.
So if I go to their rate, it just wouldn't make sense. So, yeah.
And now what about furniture and appliances? Has anybody had any wild parties and tore up your floor or any kind of damages?
No tore up a floor. Someone did break a bed But I thought the bed was going to, you know, those pull-out couches, mm-hmm. you know, I thought it was going to break at some point.
I'm
anyway.
Laughing because did you hear the moment when it broke?
Fortunately, I did not. But one of the reasons I knew they broke is they bought an air mattress. I'm like, this is interesting. So then I sort of repaired the bed, but I didn't. And then when I changed, because at that time, I think I would let 6 people stay.
Yeah.
Which I don't really do that anymore. And also, it's like a. Technically, according to the rules, you can't have more than 3 people living in a unit
gotcha.
That aren't related and has nothing to do with short term. That's just what's on the books.
Gotcha.
So there are a lot of people living in apartments that are technically illegal. Like there'll be 4 people and they're not related, but that's technically illegal.
What so about just, 3 couples in each bedroom?
Well, I guess that would be technically probably illegal. I mean, the technicality of it is, and that's what the city does, right? Today, they don't, there's some rules they don't. Adhere to, they don't enforce, but they can wake up tomorrow and decide they're enforcing them.
When they don't like you.
Yeah, when they don't like you.
You cross the wrong person.
Or they decide, oh, we can make a lot of money this way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other thing with them not making the rules clear to people
yes.
is like, this is an enforcement and this is a way for them to make money. So it's like, we're going to make money because if I go write you tickets, then. We're going to, you know, you're going to make money. So
have you ever had any encounters with the city?
Yeah. I have. So if I have because, and I think part of it is because that I'm really vocal about it. So really the first thing that happened is I called, they had a hearing. And I forgot what year, but they had a hearing and then I called to find out how they were going to enforce the new rules, what they were going to do. So I called and that was the end of February and the Ides of March is March 15th. The Office of Special Enforcement showed up at my door.
Wow.
So, you know, I didn't let them in because what they do is they write tickets from the top to the bottom on anything. And other things, they give you a chance to rectify it, but this they don't. They, like, if they write you a ticket, you end up coming to court and they end up winning because they use laws and old codes. There's a lot of old codes. They know what they're doing. So I went to court and when I came back, I got one thing in the mail that said something was dismissed and I didn't get something on the other thing because there were like 4 tickets. So I thought I was, you know, free on them. And then they came to my door again and like, no, you didn't respond to this and you didn't read this. And it's your responsibility to find out what happened. I was like, guys, I'm just sitting here. And instead of saying, okay, you can fix it, we're going to take me to court again. So I owe them a lot of money for which I'm not paying them.
Wow.
I haven't paid them at this point. So, you know, we'll see.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, that's how it is. And you probably don't have to pay them until you sell the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
I mean, and if you decide to.
Or 8 years, it should drop off.
From the Dunkin' Donuts, blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Yeah. So, and that's the thing, right? So if they have someone else trying to give you money, you pay them a little bit, then that's the new date. That's the new date for your 8 years to not. So really I have a new councilwoman. Mm-hmm. So I need to talk to her about, like, this is not fair. This is what happened, and then let's see if we can get this reduced. So yeah, it's not fair. Yeah, because if I were to sell or to refinance or whatever, then they would have to be paid.
Yeah, that's the only hindrance.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah, but I don't trust them, so you know, we try to get that off of me. I don't trust the city at all.
Tell me, do you have a different or specific type of insurance? For that or just it's a normal 3?
So because I do 30 days or more, mm-hmm. I have regular insurance. And when I first started, this wasn't as big of a deal.
Yeah.
So, but now, like in my thing now, it says in this, the latest insurance, it says that you can't do short-term rental. But the first time I had insurance, it didn't say that, right? So I think other people are trying to catch up.
Yeah.
There are policies that deal with short-term rental so that people can not have these issues.
So now, I know you speak in different platforms about mm-hmm. this. Have you tried to create some kind of union or some kind of support group? Because I know you're not the only one that is facing these issues when it comes to the city.
So we did a lot of, we formed me and some other hosts that were responsible for the home sharers clubs in their areas. We formed a home sharing association. That's what we call Home Sharing Association of America. But during COVID, all of us became really less involved in that. And then
one person unfortunately had passed during COVID. And another person moved to New Jersey.
Building?
No, just one of the leaders in the group. Okay. So he was actually the president of the group. Oh, so we wow. just have we haven't been doing them. We used to have a lot of events, gather people in our own. There was a person from every borough,
yeah,
and except Staten Island, there was a person from every borough, and
it's
then
Staten Island.
Staten Island. And there are people who do rentals in Staten Island. And then when we get people together, we would you know partner with Airbnb sometimes and go to Albany or go to City yeah. Hall and speak on different things. You know,
because I would imagine Airbnb would have to back you in this issue with the city as well.
Yeah, so they have interest also.
They're relatively supportive in that. They, you know, of course, I would like them to be much more organized in that and in the effort. But and I'm sure they do more than I know on it. But yeah, they have helped us get together with people, and we do. Have just been doing it differently since COVID started. It's been really on the back burner. And then as we transition with Mayor Adams, so we were on our own, some of us are trying to meet with him and have a discussion to see where he's thinking mm-hmm. and how we think it can be helpful. Because a lot of the things that we talk about, because a lot of the people that I know who are doing it, especially are Black and Brown people, when we talk about that, you know, there were places we couldn't stay in hotels, we've always shared spaces.
Yeah.
Because that's what we could do. That's all. Yeah, and that's all we could do. We couldn't stay at other places. So it is. We have a history of doing that, and people are doing that because they are trying to save themselves in spaces. One of the arguments is it's making some people rich. So the last time the commissioner or executive director, I think it is, of the Office of Special Enforcement, he talked about there's it's happening more in areas that are gentrifying, but he didn't know whether those were. The people who are trying to stay there are more people moving in.
Okay.
So if you know what it is, then let's figure that out. Because if it's the people I know who are doing it, largely, I'm in Harlem, but largely, and I my street is really mixed, right? It's ethnically diverse. But the people who I know who are doing Airbnb are all Black. So they've lived in the neighborhood for a while. So if you're talking about people who are trying to stay in their homes, then that's a different conversation than trying to make it like this evil villain. And the other thing that people will talk about is that people are making less if they're Black, as if they care about us. So we're making less, you're Black, you're making less than the white person doing Airbnb. So you don't want us to make anything. When we all know that people make less, the houses get sold for less because people are Black, if you can discern that. So we know these things happen already. But instead of trying to fix it, they want to blame Airbnb. And Airbnb is not the problem, didn't cause the racism that we experience. Those are from the people. So... Those are some of the major arguments that they make.
Well, at Fiber Realty, we deal with a lot of landlords,
mm-hmm.
and we have a lot of properties and work with a lot of land. We don't do necessary rentals, but some of our buyers can look at Airbnb as an option to maybe take a couple of units in a three-family or four-family and convert that to an Airbnb, or maybe, like you said, one long-term, one short-term. It's a great way to diversify income for your investment. And so that's why we're revisiting this subject, this topic. Last week we covered if we ever stayed, like, you know, I sent my family away during COVID. It's like, hey, Airbnb, don't know hotel. I don't want you to get sick. I want you to live. So that was my first experience. Mm-hmm. And so... now, having you here today, someone that has actually made real money through Airbnb, and it sounds like an awesome, it sounds like a great, flexible way to transform your property if you can do it.
Mm-hmm. And even if you can't do short term, because I do, I'm pretty booked, and I do longer term, so our medium term. So it could be traveling nurses, I'll do... professors on sabbatical.
Okay.
Sometimes people come because they're visiting their family and there's no place for them to stay, or people that just had babies, they'll come. They're from out of town, so they'll stay and they'll come visit their family. So it's a variety of people. Some people are moving to the city and they need a place to stay before their place is ready or before they buy a place. So even with that, I don't really have many days available. Now I have more people looking for longer term. So it's a debate for me whether to do it or not. Because right now,
and they direct deposit, right? They don't even they send you checks, or is it direct
deposit?
It's
a bank account. Well, so they're paying
on the Airbnb platform, they're paying Airbnb, and then Airbnb is paying me. Because Airbnb on the side of the guest.
Yeah.
So Airbnb, they pay the fee that I charge and then an Airbnb markup. Right. So Airbnb makes money on both sides of the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So if I do it on some other platform, it might be a little different.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so I haven't collected a check. It's, you know, and Airbnb sends you a notice. It's going to be in your bank within blah, 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 blah. Then you have to just look for the money.
And you mentioned another company that you're using other than Airbnb?
Well, so Vrbo, VRBO.
Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't had any bookings on them in a while, but you might see some more commercials because they're advertising more now. And they advertise about whole homes. So they only do whole homes.
Oh.
And they were here before Airbnb. So they, yeah, so it's just you. That's their campaign, basically. It's just you. So I haven't had anything hit on there in a while, and probably because I haven't been paying attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of these things, you know, you need to nurture them a little. And then I do some other things, like I have sabbatical homes. But I'll have people call me, and sabbatical homes really are professors looking for rentals. And then because some of my friends have some references with traveling nurses, they'll refer the traveling nurses to me. I'm not on any traveling nurses sites. I'm not as close. I'm close to Harlem Hospital. I'm not as close as some other people are to some other hospitals.
Gotcha.
So I've had some traveling nurses find me through Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And usually they're good. The professors on sabbatical are probably, you know, if you're looking for price sensitive people, they're less price sensitive. You know, people ask you for a discount.
Okay.
Yeah, I try not to give discounts.
All right.
Very cool.
who wants to
inspiring?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about the people who get discounts, sometimes people ask, but the most annoying people have been the people who have discounts.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and then no good deed goes unpunished, falls under that category.
It was funny. I was talking to somebody like, oh, I can't stay in an Airbnb. They don't have, hotels have services where they bring you food.
Yeah.
And you can't. I was like, you could hire a chef.
Because you can have a whole kitchen.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Oh, and you know, what about kitchen. Food DoorDash and all that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're right. Like, it's just, I was just like, who needs that in New York?
Yeah, and it depends on where you go. So sometimes I'll go. Like, I went to a conference in Baltimore, and I stayed in the Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
But I went to something in Orlando, I stayed in a hotel. And really, that was one of the reasons I stayed in a hotel was it was another conference, and it was I needed transportation back and forth from the hotel.
Right.
And I couldn't get a rental car. So I didn't need to – I didn't – I'm like, there were no rental cars to be had. So I knew that I was on the bus route at the hotel. So it was just easier. So, yeah, so I made a decision on really what I need because I wasn't going to be – in the place either way, because I really was going to rent a Airbnb, but no cars.
So Nina, will you Airbnb any place in any of your properties? Would you think about doing that as an alternative?
I have an apartment up there in Harlem. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'm allowed to do Airbnb, you know, because some of those condo buildings,
yes,
they don't allow, but I do have another house that I'm managing in Queens. It's a whole house. So would you recommend me going to Vrbo?
Well, I think I would put it on both and look at where the traffic's coming from and see what's happening. Because in the beginning, because people were saying, who are you getting? I think just some people there's a level of familiarity with each. And then what's happening with the marketing? Because now Vrbo is really doing that.
And would you say that as soon as I put it up for 30 days or more, I'll get booked because it's summertime, or it doesn't necessarily mean?
So I'm not sure how long mine was up before it got booked, but you get some preference because you're a new listing, so you'll get a little higher priority so people can see it.
Right.
And then there are ways of people adding comments if you want to add comments on there. So the first people I got, actually, they had a problem with another unit, and then they booked me as the replacement unit. And they were good first guests because they gave me feedback, and they, not that I asked them for it.
But that's awesome.
But I should have asked them for it. So they gave me feedback, and then I kept in touch with them for a while. So they were the first guests. So in the beginning, sometimes people do things that they're priced a little lower. But also, you know, as Airbnb has gone, they've changed a little. So you can get a link for your property, you can promote it yourself if you want to do that also.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so you can promote.
Really, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to definitely
thank you for sharing
and,
your wisdom.
Reach out for help for both.
Yeah. Yes.
Meditation.
Yes.
And.
Yes. Well, it's come that point where we're at the end of the show. Thank you so much, Joy, for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, we learned a lot from you today.
Yes, I really did learn a lot.
This was an awesome experience.
I love it. I love to learn. Yes. So cool. Well, looking forward, maybe in the future again.
How can our audience reach you if they have any questions or want to follow up about maybe turning?
We'll take a photo together and post it on Instagram with all her information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people have all your information.
Right. And also check out Chris_Nina_Real Estate Podcast. Please follow and I follow back. Well, we will follow back. It's ours, but yes, I imagine.
And we'll post their information, like I said.
Yes, and we'll post their information. And thank you for tuning.
Yeah.
Any last words you want to say, Nina?
looking forward to next week. It's fun. It's always fun to be here. So hopefully you'll be here too. And that's it. Enjoy your night. Thanks, Joy, for being here
again. Good night. God bless.
Okay. Bye.